Hi, I'm Malachi, and you're listening to the Judge a Book podcast. Downloads and reviews help us out a ton, so leave us 5 stars before you go. Every single week, join in for our book club where we talk about the books that we love, or maybe not so loved. New books will be chosen every month, and you'll get to listen to exactly how we judge a book. Hello and welcome back to the Judge a Book podcast. We are finishing up sadly with Hannah. Hi, Hannah.
Hey.
We are finishing up our end of our second book, two books that we've done together now, and we're finishing up on it, and I can't believe it.
I know, it's been like a whole journey. I guess when book three comes out, I'll just have to bug you to come back so we can finish the trilogy strong.
100%, you've got to come back with me. But I'm sad to see us end, but I'm excited to talk about this book and hear all of your thoughts about it, because I have some thoughts about it myself. And yeah, we're wrapping up so far all that there is in this The Legacy of Orisha series, as far as it's gone so far.
It's exciting.
I want to look up and see if I can see when the next book comes out, because I didn't look that up.
Last time I looked it up, it had just said sometime, I think, in 2022, I believe. But that was, I don't know, a while ago. So maybe there's more news, but I haven't seen anything yet.
Time to wrap up. We've officially finished both books now, so we can openly talk about everything. If you guys have not finished both Children of Blood and Bone and Children of Virtue and Vengeance, now's the time to stop the podcast, go read and read both of those books before you come back and chat with us, because we're definitely going to be talking about it all and you're going to get spoiled.
And we don't have any insight on the book three. We're not cool enough to be in those circles. So at this point, it's just going to be our predictions and guesses and spoilers of books one and two. But if you have insider knowledge, definitely hit us up and let us know what you know, because I am needing some answers.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're not that cool. But I will say, just to brag on both of us, we're both so close to 10K friends on TikTok.
So close.
Crazy close. We're both itching right up to 10K at the same time, and it's so fun. And so we're not that cool that we have an in with Tomi here, but we are.
We're cool enough.
We're getting cool enough. Maybe one day. Maybe sure. Just one day. This week's episode of the Judge a Book podcast was brought to you in part by Wax Center. Wax Center is giving all of you guys your very first wax with them for free. Just use the link in my podcast description, follow that, and make your appointment, and your very first wax will be on them. What did you think of the book or this week's reading?
I mean, I think you're right. It was so fast-paced, and I feel like there were so many different types of magic happening and different like elements and things that I was kind of confused what was happening for the majority of the second half, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So at times it was a little bit difficult to follow, but I'm glad it went by quickly, and I think a lot happened, but was a lot happening in a short amount of time. Where, once again, even this, like, love triangle business, I didn't think Rowan would get as much of a chance as he ended up getting in this second half of the book, because it was all in the second half. Mm-hmm. But she admits at one point that, like, she can't let another person that she loves die, and she's meaning Rowan. And so I'm like, wait, you love Rowan now? Mm-hmm. Like, what's happening?
Yeah,
and you're connecting your powers to other people. Now you all have stronger powers, but if, you know, if one of you dies, do you all die? Like, how? I don't understand how anything works. I'm so confused. I have so many questions.
Yeah,
but
I'm
very much invested.
I'm invested too. I want to know what's gonna happen, but I'm not gonna lie, I feel like I was left a little disappointed with this book. I did really enjoy the first one. I thought it was really good. This one, I feel like a lot of times I was a little confused. It was a lot. So much happened, but it was even a shorter book than the first one. And sometimes things happened that I felt like were one of those fate tropes, and I don't like the fate trope. But it was like all of a sudden there was a solution, or all of a sudden there was an answer, and I don't like that trope. Everyone knows I don't like it. But I will say I did feel a little disappointed with this book. I wish I had more of a desire to want to keep reading and want to find out what was happening, but I think it was because I was left confused that I was like, I don't know what's going on, so I don't know even what to expect next. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm left feeling with this book. But I do want to know, like, how story's going to unfold, and because we're left on such a cliffhanger.
Definitely. I think that's hard, though, because I've never really read the second book in like a series or a trilogy and ever really felt it was better than the first. Yeah. It just doesn't happen. So I knew I would probably like this one less. And then once again, the fact that it was shorter, there were certain elements of it that I liked more than the first one. Like, obviously I like Rowan and I like that the characters are aging. You can tell they're getting more mature and there's more character development, but it kind of makes sense to me now why so many fantasy books are so long. Just because maybe that extra world building and like character backstory and history is actually really important. And yeah, I think book kind of made me realize that more than ever. Wish I had a better grasp of what's happening here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about how the fast pace has been nice and kind of like refreshing in a fantasy book, I would say. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, but what just happened? Like, I'll read something and I'm like, what just happened? It's going fast and the next thing's already happening and I don't even really have a grasp of what, like, the previous section. We're already moving on to a new action scene. And you did a TikTok the other day that was hilarious about action scenes.
And That's how I honestly was feeling this entire time.
Yeah,
I just felt like swords are clanging, things were flying, like everyone was talking at once, and we were switching point of views every single chapter, it was a lot.
And like when the bombs were going off, I'm like, are those the same bombs? Or since we changed timelines, are those a different set of bombs? Or like, it was confusing to me. Also, like you were talking about character development, like, because we haven't got to see a ton of that, I don't really feel super invested in anybody's relationships either. I'm like, okay, so I don't really know Rowan, so I like him because he's a funny character and he has, like, personality, but I also don't know, like, his backstory and why they would be a good fit and, like, you know, that kind of thing, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Obviously, we've already talked about this a little bit. But if there is a sequel, you plan to read it. Is that correct?
Yeah, I definitely want to finish it up.
Yeah. And I think this is supposed to be a trilogy, and I might have already said that. It's Legacy of Orisha, so it may not be a trilogy. It could be a longer series unless she's just said that it's a trilogy. I want to know. I'm curious. I'm curious enough. Now we're going to have a sea scene, which I normally like the whole pirate ship kind of vibes that we get out of books when they're in the water. So I'm curious. I am once again hoping that Rowan will be more of a character. And I feel like he is. I feel like he has some other little plot going on here that's about to develop. I think he might have more to do with everything going on than we think that he does.
Yeah. I feel like now that Zaylee is intertwined with, like, at least a handful of people, right? I couldn't really understand, like, who's all tied together and what that means. But I'm guessing it's going to be that group of people that's on the ship because they were looking out for essentially their best interests instead of, you know, the attack on the monarchy. But I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah. And what about Amari? I feel like she's taken a total twist in the second half of the book that I didn't really expect. I think that she turned out more like her family in the second half than I expected her to. Like, everything for the country, and I'm gonna do absolutely anything, and, like, throw out my, like, relationships and morals, and, like, I'm focused on that. And it's just very different from her first part of the first book where she's so reserved and quiet and, like, I don't know. She seems very different this second half to me.
Yeah, she goes from acting all, like, meek and timid to trying to act like whatever she thinks a queen would act like. Mm-hmm. And so now she's kind of ruthless and bossy and rude. And you're right, she's throwing her relationships out. And not even just, like, her, romantic relationship with Zane, who those two seem to be like the kind of steady relationship throughout these two books, but apparently not so much anymore. And he is ready to throw her away real quick too, which also surprised me. All of a sudden, when he said, "You endangered my sister, now that's that," like I'm just over it. I'm like, are you though? I don't know. Once again, like we didn't get enough character development.
Zane took such a back burner in this book, and I was so surprised. We got, I feel like, hardly anything from him at all, and it was just so different.
I agree.
My favorite quote slash least favorite quote in this week's reading, Zane's like, next time we go for a couple pair, like, can we go with one without the crown or the throne? And I'm like, oh my gosh, so you guys even recognize that they're siblings and like you're good with it? Like, I hate that. I hated that.
Next time, let's fall for a pair of siblings that don't come with a crown.
Like, no, next time let's
Ew.
not fall for another pair of siblings. We already did that and it didn't work. So let's not try that one again. And that quote really makes me think that he's like, I'm done with her. Like, on top of everything he said, like, oh, she tried to kill you, so I'm good. It's like that plus. Yeah, next set of siblings. Like, we're already moving on. We're rebounds.
I mean, I get she was trying to put some like humor there, but it just seemed very like cheesy and out of pocket to me.
It did, especially because Zane doesn't have much of a personality in this book, and then all of a sudden he was like the jokester. Like, what? We don't know you as the jokester, you know? We know Rowan as the jokester. Maybe he could joke about you guys dating siblings, but you joking about it? Maybe not. Did you make any predictions? Did you make any predictions for this book, and were you right, or was it kind of a total twist?
I mean, I honestly can't remember what I was really thinking was going to happen. I mean, I do remember thinking there would be a lot more questions because it's not the end, and I was right, I guess, with that. But I mean, that's a pretty safe guess. I don't really think that I knew what was going to happen. I don't feel like it seemed predictable, but it did just seem a little chaotic.
Yeah, from the first book, I talked about how they mentioned that neither of the siblings looked like their mom, and I wanted that to come to a resolve at some point, like something to be brought up, like maybe she isn't really their mom, especially since the king was like known to have affairs. But it wasn't addressed at all in this book. And so that still leaves me confused as why that comment would have been made, that the kids don't look like their mom, yet it never comes back up and it's never addressed again. And maybe I'm just hanging on to some small detail, but to me that was like gonna be like a major thing. Like, why bring it up if it doesn't exist, you know? And I don't even really understand the mom's intent behind making this divide with the Magis and the like non-Magi people, and like what her motives were behind that and what her current path is.
I agree.
Yeah, I
It
feel like.
just seemed like villainy for no reason. Like she didn't have an origin story. They kind of scratched the surface about how the, wars began due to her, but they didn't really say what her motivations were behind it. Why did she feel this way? I mean, obviously she was threatened, but for what reason?
Yeah, once again, we're like related back to the character development, and like, and I think that's why a lot of things seem fate-like to me as well, because it's like, oh, here's a solution to a problem, even though the solution seems like it's out of nowhere. Like, oh, remember those caves we used to swim in? Now we can use those to like cut off the military. And oh, there was a sunstone before? Forgot to tell you, there's also a moonstone, and you suddenly have those powers and those kind of things. And the mom, like, she's the reason that we're all divided. And like, I don't know. It's just a few loose ends for me, especially on characters, and especially the side characters that we don't get to see a lot that seem to have just teeny tiny little droplets of information that get dropped in, or little side parts and roles in the plot. but they're not really explained well. Any of the scenes we can talk about either from this book or from both of the books that have really stuck with you?
I really enjoyed the scene of, well, I always talk about Rowan, I can't help it, but I really enjoyed when he took Zaylee to the, like, underwater exploration day, essentially just because she was having, you know, a bad day, mm-hmm. she was stressed, and he just did it for the pure motivation of making her smile and making her happy, which was really sweet because it showed he cared and that, you know, he has this sweeter, softer side. But also just the way that she described that particular scene where it was kind of mysterious and a little bit scary in the beginning. Like, where are we going? It's dark. It's cold. I don't know if I like this. Mm-hmm. And then there was these, I don't know, I almost pictured like underwater fireflies is kind of like how I visualized it. But just like illuminating the entire like ocean. And they got to see, you know, all these sea creatures and swim around. And it just seemed like such like a cool experience to have. And I was kind of jealous that I can't do that.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that was one of my favorite scenes of at least the second book.
Yeah, that was a really beautiful scene. One scene that still stuck with me, it's from the first book, is Bobbit obviously dying, and then that whole, like, kind of heaven-like scene that we saw, where she, like, gets to talk to her mom mm-hmm. for a minute, and her mom's like, now's not your time, and really, like, pushes her to kind of, it seems, go back to the real world and not stay, I guess, almost dead. but that scene, it's really mm-hmm. stuck with me. It's really awful that Bob has died. I wonder now that she can bring people back from the dead if she's going to attempt that, except for they already, like, gave Baba a sea burial, so I don't think that there's a chance that that's going to happen, but just makes me wonder if she's going to try for something like that and what her, mm-hmm. like, new power in that holds.
Oh, this... I liked the scene also, the, like, gladiator scene.
Yeah, I was about to talk about that.
I don't know
one.
What else to equate it to, like, the gladiator boats.
Yes.
Gladiator boats.
Out of the first book, that is an extremely memorable scene, that whole fight there, and her, like, really getting to use her, like, animations for the first time, and, yeah, that's a really, really neat scene.
I agree. That and all of the dreamscapes, I think, between Zaylee and Aynen just stick out to me because it felt like there was a break from the chaos and it just kept, like, mm-hmm. making them clash together and, like, a will they, won't they kind of thing. And
yeah,
okay. I really enjoyed their, like, dreamscape scenes.
Yeah, I did too. And I also really enjoyed the fact that when Amari created one, it was different than Aynen's, and, like, it shows that, like, part of that has to do with, obviously, mm-hmm. their personality and some of that, so that was really neat. I'm curious about Aynen going and leaving all those letters and, like, how that kind of came about, and the bronze piece, like, I want to just know a little bit more about that and, like, why he left them there in particular, I guess, but I'm just curious about their story and how it's going to continue on, because Zaylee's so ready to kill him, but I feel like the love triangle is not done with it. We've not seen the end of this yet.
I mean, it can't be. She gave him a bit of, like, a redemption at the end of the book. Like, he kind of came to his senses, and he said, like, he even said, like, you can kill me and I will do nothing to stop it. And he proved that too. Mm-hmm. So it kind of showed that, you know, he was ready to step down, and he had kind of come to the realization that his mom was the problem and that he wasn't being a better king. He was just doing whatever his mm-hmm. dad was doing already. So I think we finally gave him kind of more growth as a character. And so that was kind of the only reason that Zaylee wasn't liking him anymore, and now that that's, like, out of the picture, I feel like he just has to win her trust back somehow.
I am super curious as to where Rowan's story is about to go and what this white gas is, and if he's the one, like, behind the white gas, if he, like, captured her and that's why they're on a ship, or, like, what role he is about to play in this whole future journey, and if Zaylee and Aynen are together, is Rowan there too, so we're all three going to be in the same space, then what is it going to look like, and what is Zaylee going
to
do?
I feel like that has to happen. Like, the three of them need to be in one space, so she can't just choose whoever is there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just nervous.
Like, I need there to be some clash.
mm-hmm. Oh, I loved Rowan singing the lullabies or songs that his mom sang him. I thought those were so sweet, even though he was kind of in the process of dying in that scene. But those were so sweet and like really showed he had like more of a heart, you know, and not just this funny, tough guy that's out to get money. Okay, what would you rate the book, or have you rated it, and what did you already rate it?
I haven't rated it yet. I read something from another book reviewer recently that said if they waited to rate a book that they had just finished reading, their ratings would always be a bit different if they had waited at least a couple days. And it's just that freshness of a book when you're still so excited about it, and especially when you're talking about it. And so I'm trying to do this new thing where I give myself like a week to rate it and to see if I, because I think I'll be more fair then, because sometimes I do end up changing my ratings otherwise. And I'm guessing though that this is going to be between like, I don't give half stars, but if I did, I'd say like 3.5 to 4,
I was
somewhere
probably
there.
landing on about a 3.5. So I feel like, and I do do half stars, except for obviously you can't with Goodreads. And unfortunately, because of that, I think it might go to a 3 for this book. Just because I just didn't like it as much as the first one, and some areas did fall flat for me. But as of this exact moment, I'm landing about a 3.5. So we're about on the same track there as far as the ratings go for it. So.
If I go between, I can't decide if I'm gonna go down. I'm like, that's why I need to wait, because I can't decide if I'm gonna go up or down. Because I do really like, I think that she writes in a different way, and I think like the world she's built is really cool, but it does still feel like a debut author, you know? So I can't, I don't know. Talk to me in 1 week, I'll let you know.
All right, I'll ask you. And when you come back for the third book, right, you'll be able to tell us what you landed on then. Because that's going to be another year, so you'll have had some time to stew on it. All right. Anything else you want to talk about this whole series?
I don't think so. I think I feel
I
pretty content, and
do
I'm just
too.
it'll be hard to dive back in after that much time, but I mean, chances are I'll end up rereading them because they're quick to read.
Yeah, I was. That was another question I was going to ask, is if you were going to reread it. Me rereading or not rereading a book plays really heavily into how high I rate it as well. Like if I have no desire to reread the book, then I'm not going to rate it as high. But they are quick reads and would be easy to kind of reread or at least skim read to catch up for the third book in the future.
I think if the next book was coming out soon, I would not reread them. But if it takes us a very long time, which it seems like it's going to, I would. So it's not necessarily me rereading it because I was just so enamored with the book. It's more so going to be a refresher because I read too much to remember books very well.
Yeah, I get that. All right. Well, unfortunately, I think that we are coming to a close for this series so far. Me and Hannah have been recording for quite some time for these two books, with life and everything going on. And so it is sad to see Hannah go because we have been little reading partners for a while now. But I am very happy that she joined me, and hopefully she will join me again in the future when I'm a little less crazy in life. And maybe I'll have learned how to summarize a book by that point.
Definitely.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
We'll still do other things together.
oh, of course, of course. No, we're definitely friends at this point, so I'm sure we'll do lots of things together. For now, we're going to close on this series. And now it's time for me to announce the next book on the podcast, which I'm doing with a surprise guest. You guys have to tune in to find out, as always, who the new guest is. But I have to let you know what to read. So we're reading Vicious by V.E. Schwab. It's the first book in the Villains series. And for week one, we are reading to page, it's about 95. I think it's chapter 19 is where we're reading to the Roman numerals, which I suck at, but that's number XIX. XIX in part one. It's about 95 pages in, and it's chapter 19 in my paperback version. So I've already started it. It's really good. I think you guys are gonna enjoy it. So you have to join in with me and my surprise guest and read it. But I think we're gonna sign off
I'm
for
in.
this episode. Yay! Hannah's gonna be joining us, which is fun. But I'm gonna miss you, Hannah. But thanks for reading with me. Take a
Thanks for
break.
having me.
Of course. And I will chat with you guys next time. Bye. That's it for today's episode of Judge a Book. If you enjoyed, please make sure to give us a 5-star review before you go. Connect with me on social media. They're all linked in the pod description. And don't forget, next Monday, a new episode of Book Club will be released, and we can once again judge a book.